Maybe it was thrilling and amazing in the beginning, but how do we keep at it? What am I talking about? We'll find out on this episode of Inverse. Hey everyone, hope you're having a great day. We're in the studio with Israel Kali and my friend Jonathan, and you guys are my friends too, but I don't know why I said that. But we're so happy and excited for a new series, a new quarter, a new 13-week arc on the book of
Hebrews.
Hebrews. All right. So we've been looking at different books in the past. We looked at Romans, we looked at Deuteronomy, we've looked at what else? We looked at Nehemiah. You guys aren't helping, but that's okay. But we're going to look at Hebrews. So if you guys have your Bibles out there, take them out, whether it's digital or analog. Also go to inversebible.org, and you can download our Bible study guide on the book of Hebrews. And you can also go to your social media channels and also your podcast, wherever you get your programs, and look up Inverse Bible, and you can get our programs there as well. Okay, so Jonathan can pray for us, and then we'll get into Hebrews. And instead of Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to go to another chapter within Hebrews.
All right, let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity again to go deep into the Word, and this time the book of Hebrews. We know that you inspired this book, and so we just pray that as we go through this over the next couple of weeks, that you will give us deep insights into who you are, the ministry of Jesus, and why these things are important to us. Lord, bless us now as we start this new quarter, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, 34 through 36. Callie?
For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise.
And can you read that promise, 37, 38?
Yes.
Sorry about
that. Is that good?
Missed it.
For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul.
Amen, amen. So there's some good juice in there, good stuff. Why are we not looking at chapter 1? We need to get the context of where the author of Hebrews, which I believe was Paul, I think there's strong evidence for that, why this was written. And so Israel, can you give us a little bit of background on what's happening in Hebrews?
Yeah. First of all, the book of Hebrews is first started off as a sermon. You know, it's a sermon that I agree with you. I believe it was Paul that wrote it. Mm-hmm. That he's preaching to a group of people identified as Hebrews. We don't really know even who the people are. Mm-hmm. They're going, the churches, the Christian church at this time is going through very difficult times. They've been persecuted. They've been verbally abused. I mean, it's a suffering church. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the challenges of, you normally think that challenges or difficulties will eventually inspire in us renewed faithfulness. Mm-hmm. But prolonged, you ultimately have the temptation of becoming cynical, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is this really even real? You know, and you just get weary and tired. Mm-hmm. And so Paul is addressing this group of Christians and is saying, look, you have need of patience, endurance, that after you have done the will of God, which is, we've done that, you will receive the promise. And then he's quoting from the book of Habakkuk, you know, that the just shall live by faith, mm-hmm. but if anyone draws back, Jesus says, my soul will not have pleasure in him. He responds, we're not of those who draw back to perdition, but we, and the key phrase is, we are of those who believe all the way to the saving of the soul.
That word perdition is kind of a hard word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. That word perdition meaning lostness, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I think of Spanish, to perder, to lose, probably some Latin background, yeah. Let's draw back a little bit. And we all experienced the pandemic together. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you just right off the bat, when at least my reaction was, when it first happened, oh, this is going to blow over really quick, right?
In a few weeks.
This is just a couple days, a couple weeks, and this is going to be like whatever. And then at a certain point, you kind of had to click over and be like, oh, this isn't going to be quick. Mm-hmm. We're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. I think we all kind of collectively, and depending where all you were around the world, we all experienced it different. When did that happen for all of you? And when you clicked over, what resources or what things were you clinging on to? Because now you have to have a different mode of life, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh, man, what were changes that happened? Or what was your state of mind? Or what clicked in your life? What happened in your life when that happened? Yeah. Kelly.
So I was in Nairobi, Kenya when it happened. Mm-hmm. And the first day there was a case in Nairobi is the same day Nairobi shut down. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't like any gradients. So it was like, it's here. Everything is closed.
Okay.
And
so you're like, click, click, click.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I still kind of thought it was just going to last a few weeks because right before it started, my husband and I actually went to Cape Town, and there were signs about COVID, but it was very China-centric.
Okay.
So just like, have you been to China? No? Cool. Come on in. This is weird. Something happened somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But after my husband's job shut down and that he had to work from home, and he still is working home to this day, I was like, that's kind of weird, but it'll probably just still blow over. Mm-hmm. That was March. And then it was actually in May when all of the airlines had shut down, no international flights in or out, and there was no coming back online date. Mm-hmm. It was just like, we're closed for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. That's when I was like, oh, this is going to take a while.
Mm-hmm. So what state of mind what did you cling to when you realized that, you know, we're going to be here for a while?
Mm-hmm.
Was there any habits that changed? Did you do anything different that you realized, oh, this isn't quick? Now, I'm not talking mm-hmm. about masks or like what physical, then what spiritual or mm-hmm. what psychological things did you cling on to that changed in the long run?
Yeah, I think, one thing that I tried to be very grateful for from the beginning was it was my first year of marriage, and now I have my husband home all the time. And other people kind of complain about having their spouses home all the time, but it's really great at the beginning, at least it was for me.
Mm-hmm. You had a biblical marriage. Yeah,
yeah,
for the first
I loved
year,
it.
Husband can't go anywhere. He's stuck
it was
at
great.
Home.
That's right. We just follow the Bible.
He has the privilege to stay home. And you follow biblical counsel there.
So, I mean, even just in our relationship of being like, we can really focus on building what our marriage looks like. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we were very focused on our relationship.
Interesting.
So that was a blessing out of it.
In many ways, you start reassessing the values in your life, and you pick out what's important, and you focus, and you mm-hmm. start majoring in those.
Exactly.
Know. Jonathan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, a similar situation. You know, I was working from home, and for me, you know, when you realize this is going to take a while, you do, you know, and you realize how terrible things were. You know, I was following the news, and at some point I just said, I cannot follow the news anymore. I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
But it made me think of, you know, what is important, and, you know, where do I focus in my life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you pray differently. You know, in a way, you are, you know, you might die. I thought of this thing, like, I might die this year mm-hmm. because of this. And there were people that I know of that passed away because of COVID. And so it makes you reevaluate what is really, you know, important. And you'll become also grateful for some of the simple things in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Israel.
For me, everything was really crazy because I personally enjoyed, I felt guilty. I enjoyed being at home, you know, thankfully.
Introvert.
Yeah, thankfully, I never lost my job. So this even added an extra element of joy, right? Financially, I'm still receiving, you know, financial sustenance. I'm at home. I've been away from home for so long. This was the longest I've ever been home in my whole life, right? My whole married life. And so I really loved it. My kids hated it. They loved it for like the first 3 days. They're like, yeah, daddy's home. And then they were like, when are you going to work again? You know, because we went for walks every day. You know, we went for walks every day, family walks. I made them do hot and cold showers every day. And after a while, you know, we cut out sugar. And after a while, they were experiencing Hebrews. I think the
persecution.
Yeah, the verbal and physical persecution. And you'll be surprised how verbally damaging is. You can't eat sugar to a child. For me, the challenge was when we first came into this, I actually thought, hey, this could be the end of the world, you mm-hmm. know? Mm-hmm. And so for me, I felt this is a great time for me to refocus on my spiritual walk. Mm-hmm. And at first it was very good. You know, I read the entire Great Controversy, read through it. I made commitment. I need to follow God again. I need to recommit myself to him.
Mm.
But then I realized how hard it was to sustain that over a long period of time. And so that was my journey was a difficult spiritual journey because you're home, you're not speaking, you're not preaching, you're not doing all of these things which give you comfort and safety. Mm-hmm. Now you're dealing with yourself. Mm-hmm. And that became it was an interesting and a difficult spiritual journey for mm-hmm. me.
It's interesting. We kind of experienced the same thing, but also in different ways and in individual
what
ways.
What about you?
I was very mindful of my emotions during that time. Mm-hmm. I was very angry at mm-hmm. every stage of the pandemic. I find myself like, what's the big deal? It's mm-hmm. just another, like, Asia's been dealing with these diseases forever, and it's going to pass. And then they said, hey, you have to mask, but if you, at least for the circles that I've been, initially they said, you don't need a mask, the mask does nothing to protect you, and then you have the maskers and the anti-maskers. I'm like getting angry with the world mm-hmm. about they're arguing over a mask when there's people dying. And then I was like, why haven't they found the vaccine yet? And it was like only like 2 days since I'm like,
yeah.
And I was just getting very, 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 and I was mindful. I'm like, why am I so emotionally tied into everything that's happening? Mm. That's when you had all the different information coming out. And that's when kind of like you had to shut down all information. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed staying home with my children, but after a month or two, and then we would wrestle every single day, and then, you know, there are like holes in the wall, the roof is falling apart, you know, there's just, you know, carnage everywhere. And I was like, hey, when is reality gonna, the new normal, or when is normality gonna set in?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very interesting that we start assessing what's important in our lives.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And we try to get back to the basics. And so, man, family is important, marriage is important, spirituality, let's get back to health. Let's get back to, you know, and like you guys all, we're traveling all around, but hey, without traveling, you have kind of the sobriety to mm-hmm. think things through. And at that time, we just learned to slow down. And then, you know, I'm a very impatient person. I'm like, no, I don't want to slow down. I want to, and it was just those things were getting against each other. I want to ask you, like, you know, the Christians were, the Hebrews were experienced wonderful revival. Then persecution sets in, but persecution sets in for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then a malaise, then a lethargic despondency kicks in. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the context of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Kelly.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that's the, because when we think of persecution, a lot of times we're like, it's an experience, like a temporary experience. Mm-hmm. And it was there, but when we say temporary, we don't mean weeks and months. We mean like a day or like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just as we've been talking about, I think we all, and everyone had their, so silly, but it's like, we have like new me pandemic goals. Like, this is who I'm going to be. And it's like, we're experiencing a global pandemic. This is not the time to like rewrite your personality.
Right.
But that's just kind of how we see it of like, yeah, I'll just hunker down, then come back to normal. But in the same way that the global pandemic changed the world in a lot of ways, that there is going to be a new normal and it continues to be, I think even here, persecution isn't supposed to be temporary, then everything goes back to normal. Mm-hmm. There is some forging, some transformation that happens.
Well, hold that thought, Callie. We have to take a break, and we're going to hunker down. And when we come back, we're going to continue with Callie's thought. Welcome back. We're talking about persecution, trials, suffering, bad times, pandemic, maybe? And not at the initial stages, but when you go through that for a long time, then certain stuff happens and you change. And how do you deal with the long-term suffering? This is what mm-hmm. Hebrews is talking mm-hmm. about.
So yeah. Okay. So just to share a personal story, it's not about persecution or about the pandemic, but recently I actually just come out of a really longer than normal bout of depression. Mm. Very, very dark. And I've had depression before, but it's kind of like, it lasts a few days or like maybe a week, but by then it's over. But this time it lasted weeks and it was very confusing. Okay. And so it's just kind of like, yeah, when does this end? Uh-huh. Like, why don't I feel better yet? Mm-hmm. And it's also easy to just be like, I'm just going to like just ignore everything until I feel better. Mm-hmm. But amidst persecution and global pandemics and even in my own depression, I don't want to stay the same as I was before it. I don't want to become worse and become cynical and, you know, have these bad effects that we can have. Mm-hmm. But I learned so much, not to even over-spiritualize it, but I learned to trust God aside from my feelings in those times. Mm-hmm. And I want to take those lessons mm-hmm. with me. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, like, you don't want to just grit your teeth and bear it. Mm-hmm. because that ignores what you can learn and how you can grow even in the worst of those situations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Also back to the text, a little bit of what is happening. In verse 34, it says, you know, he's saying, you had compassion on me in my chains. And look, it says, you joyfully accepted. So, you know, it's talking about the experience of these people when they first began this this challenging time in their lives. They faced it with joy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're suffering for Christ. We're suffering like Christ and all these different things. And then after reminding them of that, he says, verse 35, therefore, do not cast away your confidence.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Even though we've gone through these joyful experiences that we've endured with patience, everything that God, that we've suffered for Christ, the temptation is that after we've done that for a prolonged time, period of time, that this confidence that we once had,
yes,
we're in danger of throwing it away.
Yes.
That's what he's saying. Like, after all this time that you've protected that confidence, that you've guarded that confidence, that you've died for that confidence, that, you know, you've suffered for that confidence, don't take that confidence now and throw it away. Why? Because it has great recompense of reward.
The result's going to be huge if you endure to the end. Yes. Yeah.
And then it says, why? Because we have need of endurance. That's the issue with the Christian experience, is the greatest need that we have is the need to endure. Mm. It's easy for me to love one time, you know, a person I meet, a stranger. It's easy for me to be like Christ in one moment in my life, right? Whenever something happens, I'm going to be like Jesus when this happens, right? Mm-hmm. But to experience godliness, to experience godlikeness throughout an extended period of time, that's when it becomes difficult. And what I appreciate about this is, first of all, the author is unknown. The people are unknown. And I've always wrestled with why. Why doesn't Paul just identify himself? Why are the people not identified? And it strikes me that the author's not important. You know, what's most important here is the message. Mm-hmm. Because the message is that Hebrews is portraying is what's going to help us endure the difficulties that we have in life. Mm-hmm. Why are the people unidentified? Because this is meant for me. Mm-hmm. More than any other book in Scripture, I believe, this is specifically meant for me. Mm-hmm. He's speaking to me.
Yeah.
And this, the central theme, closing here my long comment, the central theme of the book of Hebrews is, how do we get through these challenges? Mm-hmm. You need Jesus Christ.
You know, I'm thinking, just while you were talking, like, there's a lot of high theology in Hebrews. Like, it's one of the most theologically complex and dense of the New Testament letters, right? Yeah. Maybe it's up there with Romans, right? Mm-hmm. And Revelation. It's not a Jude or a third. I mean, anyway. So it's huge. It's a lot of Christology there. But all that stuff is not an academic exercise for theologians. It's not for us to analyze 2,000 years later. It's within this context, and I love that. Mm-hmm. That for us to develop endurance.
Yes.
So then that naturally, it changes my prayer life, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, often our prayer lives are, Lord, take away this persecution, take away help change the circumstances around me. But what the core of this is, like, no, the circumstances are going to stay the same. They may even get worse. Mm-hmm. But it's about I have to change. Mm-hmm. And then you add the new covenant in there. It's not I can do that by myself. It's God that's changing.
That's right.
He's trying to tie everything
Bring back
together.
The covenants, always.
Jonathan. You know, it's very profound. You know, we believe Paul was writing this. And we do know, if you read the book of Acts, that Paul had such a passion for his own people. He was a great missionary to the Gentiles. But he also was like, I want to reach my people. Mm-hmm. So I think this letter really speaks volumes in that direction. But what you are saying is so important. It's not about, oh, pray that the persecution ends and so that you can have peace and everything's going to be okay. No, pray that you endure. You need endurance, that you have that faith in Jesus to lead and guide you. And what Paul does here in the letter of Hebrews is to remind the readers or the listeners to this letter that Jesus is the better man. He is the Son of God. He is the high priest. He is the one that will fulfill the better promises. He is the better choice. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the whole book, it's not just about, oh, let's talk high theology and let's, you know, theorize about all these things. No, it's all to remind them, Jesus, the one that we experienced and have seen with our own eyes, you know, mm-hmm. He is the one that will give you the strength to get through endurance. Just a few days ago, I had the privilege to spend some time with somebody who experienced persecution, you know. They lived in a country under communism, and they told me, crazy stories. I mean, how they were constantly being surveyed by the KGB and all these things, and they were, you know, typing the Bible on a typewriter under like 15 blankets so that no one would hear that they're doing and copying the Bible and all these things, and everything they did in that had to do with their faith was under the threat of, you know, penalty of going to prison for 10 years or even being killed or being sent, you know, to the gulags. So it's just it was inspiring to see what persecution does to a Christian life. Mm-hmm. It focuses you because you are, every decision you make, you're making it at the risk of your life, yeah. Right? But even then, and that is so amazing, even then when you have people who go through it, who remain faithful, there's still a danger that they could mm-hmm. just, you know, kind of give up after a while. Mm-hmm. And that's what Paul is speaking to. He's saying, endure. Remember Jesus. Remember a little longer, mm-hmm. and he's going to be here. It's going to be okay. Which reminds us, as you said, it's a daily decision. Yeah. No matter where you are, it's a daily decision.
The key to enduring, which is what's the most beautiful component, because I hope that we don't overanalyze the theological components of Hebrews, because this was a sermon, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And too many times we forget the fact that the Bible was written to people, and we're like, we start analyzing, what was this person thinking when he said the, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and so I think the central, this is the beauty of the book of Hebrews, that the central theme of this book is Jesus, mm-hmm. and that the complexity of Christ, yeah. and that the only way we can endure life today is if we have an intimate connection with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And too many times we're like, oh, just know Jesus, or I want to be like Jesus. And he says, yeah, you want to be like Jesus, you want to know Jesus. This is what it means to know Christ. Mm-hmm. Know Christ as a high priest. Know what that means. Know what it means to be the Son of God. Know what it means that Jesus is the Son of Man. Know what it means that he's our brother. Mm-hmm. Know what it means that what he's doing right now. All of these things, focusing on Christ and on everything that he is, will first of all deepen our love for him,
yes.
and then make every trial endurable. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what I love about the book of Hebrews.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Oh, this is awesome. This is a great sets the tone mm-hmm. for the next 13, 12 weeks as we look at the book of Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And you're so right. Sometimes we just jump into chapter 1 and we just want to analyze everything about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it makes me think through going back to applying it to our pandemic. This is kind of the maybe the closest we come to a global persecution or that we can identify with. Have you all developed more endurance as a result? Mm.
I think I've experienced and maybe still am experiencing what the church is experiencing at this time. I don't think I'm on the other side of it. You know what I mean? I think that the pandemic did a lot of good things for me in terms of. I loved a lot of components of it, even though I was very sad that people lost their lives. But now, this hardship has actually forced, I can sense it's forcing me to become someone that I don't want to become, you know, complacent, you know, cynical of life and godliness. And so I feel that this is a perfect time to study this because it's going to speak to me and my condition.
Yeah, yeah. No, when there's short time trial and suffering, there's like, you know, fear and anxiety and mm-hmm. anger. But when there's long term and set in,
yeah.
it's these long terms of bitterness, of contempt, of indifference. It's a different set. Hebrews addresses actually both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, this over a year of the pandemic really revealed to me my selfishness. Mm. And, you know, I was like complaining, I can't go on vacation, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't travel. I was upset about these things in the beginning, all right? You're laughing, but it's true. And I realized, what am I doing? Like, what am I complaining about here? If I can't endure this, how am I going to endure the real stuff when it happens? So it made me realize that I need Jesus. Mm-hmm. I need the Jesus of the book of Hebrews to really transform my selfish heart mm-hmm. and to focus, as Paul says here, on taking care of others around you. You know, mm-hmm. don't care about the things of this world. We are living for a better world. Use the things of this world to bless others and pointing them to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So this message right here is the message that I needed during the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, my next question was, and we'll come to Callie, but it was, this is just a mere rehearsal of Jesus' what's second coming, problem? Right?
Yeah.
Not of the world politics and of the events. I don't know what's going to happen, and let's mm-hmm. not theorize about that at all. But mm-hmm. how what we go through mm-hmm. in our character development is a great indicator of that. Mm-hmm. Kelly.
So some of the advice he was giving in Holding Fast, we didn't read it, but mm-hmm. verse 25 is very, you know, quintessential Hebrews.
Chapter 10, verse 25?
Yes, it's a very quintessential Hebrews mm-hmm. verse. of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Mm. And I've heard this verse many times, but I loved not going to church, which mm-hmm. makes me sound like a bad person. But I loved worshiping just with my husband or just myself, and I loved being alone on Sabbaths. But when I came back and things started opening up, I realized there are certain blessings that are only found in communion with other people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And not even just the receiving, but the giving mm-hmm. and the being asked to speak and being asked to share. And so these things aren't arbitrary. These are things that when you're hurting and when you think these things are a bad idea, they're actually the best idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. On that note, we'll have to call this conversation quits. So we have talked about a lot, but hopefully this has been a great inspiration for you to start studying the book of Hebrews. Go to inversebible.org and download a Hebrew study Bible guide, Bible study guide, and join us next week as we get into the theology, the message, and the crux of the book of Hebrews. God bless you. We'll see you next week here on Inverse.